1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. I want you to read along with me. It says, "Do you not know that in a race all of the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and I make it a slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." We got to understand here that Paul was appealing to his readers. Okay, the Corinthians, there in Corinth, they held some games, and it was called the Ishmaelian games or Ishman games. I don't remember how to pronounce it, but there's games that are held there every 2 years. They were second in importance behind the Olympics. It was a big deal. Athletes would strictly train, and they would work so hard and push their bodies to the limit to win. They would train and train and train and train and train, and they would push their bodies to the max, giving max effort, training as hard as they could, pushing themselves to the limit so that they may win the race that was set out before them. And Paul says here in verse 25, he says, "Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last." Now, that's where I want to focus there for a second. He says, they do it to get a crown that will not last. Okay? And at this time, what Paul's talking about, the people that won these games, the people that won these races, the victor, they've been training for 2 years for this, and they win, and their reward was a wreath of flowers. And within days, it was dead. It was gone. So all they had then was their pride from winning. You see, I can relate to that. I meant to bring my ring tonight, and I forgot. But when I was in college growing up, when I was coaching, I thought that my life, and people can tell you this, and I believe this too for a while, people can tell you that, oh, I got into coaching to make a difference. No, you get into coaching because you want to win. Can I be honest? And I thought my life would be complete if I got a state championship ring. That's what I thought. I was like, man, that's all I'm missing. That is all I'm missing. I want to win. And sure enough, first year out of college, we won a state championship. And I got a ring. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't even know where it's at, I don't think. I ain't seen it since we moved here. Why? Because I thought it would mean so much to me, but it didn't. It didn't fill a void that was in my life. As important as I thought it was, it didn't take the place of what I needed. It didn't mean anything to me, and we worked so hard for that. And Paul's saying here that these men would work and they would train so hard and push their bodies to the limit to win a wreath of flowers that was dead within days. But I want you to notice what Paul goes on to say. He says, they do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. So what's Paul talking about? He says, they do it. He's talking about they train, they push their bodies to the limit, they train and they run their race to win a crown that will not last. He says, but we do it. So what's he talking about when he says we do it? What he's talking about is we train. We train to run our race. How do we train? Well, we train by getting into the Word of God. We train by going to Him in prayer. We train by being at church, by being at Sunday school. And listen here, something that we overlook sometimes as Christians in 2017, and I do this myself, so I'm speaking to you I'm talking to you from my own personal experience. As Christians in 2017, sometimes we're good about getting to the Word of God, sometimes. Sometimes we're good about coming to church. We're training. But sometimes we fail when it comes to self-discipline. Sometimes when that temptation comes that the devil throws in our way, I'm a Christian. I can do this. It's not going to hurt. Sometimes we fail when it comes to self-discipline. So I want us to read verses 26 and 27 again. It says, therefore, I do not run like a man that's running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man that's beating the air. No, I beat my body and I make it a slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. He said, do not run aimlessly. What does it mean for us to run aimlessly? It means for us to run with no purpose. The word aimlessly means no purpose, no goal. He's saying, do not run without a purpose. Do not run without a goal. I can tell you, I'm going to talk a lot about coaching because obviously this goes in with it. We're talking about running a race. So about 3 years ago, I told you we won a state championship in baseball. And about 3 years ago, after we played in the state championship, we were bringing back like 8 starters. Okay? The year before, we only had 11 people on the team. We had, of course, in baseball, if you only think about baseball, you have to have 9 starters. Okay? We had 8 coming back from a team that was like 29-2. So we were bringing these 8 starters back. Everybody knew we were going to be good. We were the preseason. We were going, you know, everybody thought we was going to win state. So the next year when it was time to come out for baseball, we had 29 kids show up. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's because they wanted to tag along and get a ring. So we didn't have that many jerseys. We didn't have that much room. And to be quite frank, I don't hope nobody in Fordyce listens to this. We didn't want 29 players. So what we decided to do is we said, well, we'll see who's serious about it. We will, the first 2 or 3 weeks of baseball practice after football's over, we're going to run them to death. And whoever is serious about playing is going to stick it out. Whoever don't have a purpose, whoever don't have a goal, whoever just wanting to tag along, I can assure you they're going to quit. So we had 29 kids come out. Rain, sleet, or snow, it did not affect us. If it was snowing or raining, we'd go to the gym. And we ran line drills for baseball. And we would just run and run and run and run. And I remember some of our starters coming up to us, and they'd say, why in the world are we doing this? We didn't do this last year. We made state championship. And we told them, just be patient and stick with us. Just tough it out. Because we knew they were going to stick it out. Why? Because they had a goal in mind. They had a purpose. They were willing to go through anything to get back to that championship game. But see, these kids that came out who just wanted to tag along, they didn't have that same purpose. They didn't have that same goal. They didn't have that same drive because their heart wasn't in it. So when things got real tough, we started dwindling numbers big time. We'd have kids come in and sit down in the office, and this may sound mean, but this is the coaching world. So we had kids come in and sit down in the office, and they'd go, Coach, I just don't think I can do it. I don't have enough time. That's always what you always get. I don't have enough time. And we'd be like, oh, man, I sure do hate that. Okay. We'll see you later. And we knew the whole time it was because they were sick of running to death. So we weeded them out. We weeded the ones that weren't serious about it out. The guys that just came out to tag along, to just be there, they quit because they did not have their eyes on a big picture. They did not have their eyes on a goal. They were running without a purpose. Let me use another illustration. Paul says, do not run aimlessly. And then he says, I do not fight like a man that's beating the air. Now, some of you are going to think this sounds silly, but I am not exaggerating. At Fordyce High School, and I bet if I walk up to John and Topher here and ask them if they know what shadow boxing is, do y'all know what shadow boxing is? Okay. They said no. All right. So I guess it's just a Fordyce thing. I don't know. But in Fordyce, they got to where they wanted to shadow box all the time. And what that meant was, they would literally stand in the hallways, these high school kids, these junior high kids, and they would stand in the hallways and they would shadow box. They would get ready and they would start throwing punches and they would duck and they would and nobody would ever hit each other, but it was like practice. So we were constantly having to break up shadow boxing fights. They would have tournaments in the morning. They would have tournaments at lunch. They would have tournaments in the evening, and everybody would stand in a circle and they'd judge who won. Whoever looked the prettiest, you know, whoever had the quickest moves, whoever ducked the punches that were being thrown at them. It was pretty quite silly, okay? And I can remember this young man, and this was hilarious. I can remember this young man coming to my class. He said, Coach Sanders, I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm the shadow boxing champion. And I said, dude, I hope you don't ever get in a real fight. And he said, man, I'm shadow boxing champion. I'm quick. I said, I guarantee it's going to be totally different when you get hit in the mouth. And he said, oh, no. It wasn't 3 weeks later. Me and one of my coaching buddies was eating lunch at we were eating lunch at lunch one day, and we heard all the kids fight, you know. And I look up, and this shadow boxing champion was in a real fight. And by the time we got over there, he was laid out on his back. He had blood coming out of his mouth, out of his nose. Some of y'all are going to think we're mean, but I picked him up, and I remember reaching down. I could not resist the moment. This kid was a very... I love this kid. I really do. He still texts me some now. But at first he was very disrespectful. So I took the opportunity that was presented before me when I helped him up, and I said, what's up, shadow boxing champ? I said, it's a little bit different when you get hit in the mouth, right? And he still wouldn't admit to it, but it was correct, okay? Because why am I telling you this? See, Paul is saying, do not run without a purpose, okay? Because when you run without a purpose, when things get hard, you're going to quit. If you're running without a purpose, if you're just coming to church to come to church, if you're just being a Christian just to be a Christian, if you're just coming to church and trying to live it, when things get tough, your faith is going to fail. Because you don't have your purpose, you don't have your goal set on heaven, you don't have your goal set on eternity, and you don't have your goal set on Jesus Christ. What does he mean by the not boxing? Well, I'm going to tell you how I interpret it. He says, basically what he's saying, I don't beat up the air. He's saying, I don't shadow box. Because why? If we're shadow boxing without a purpose, when life hits us in the nose, we're going to be out. Our faith is going to be gone. We're going to be laid out because our hope and our goal in life, our goal in our fight, if we're fighting, our goal better be to get to eternity. When we're fighting the things of this world, how many of you in here feel drained? Be honest. How many of you in here feel like that you're running a race every single day of your life? How many of you in here feel like you're fighting every single day of your life? You're fighting this world. You're fighting your emotions. You're fighting yourself. You're fighting your wife. You're fighting your family. You constantly have a fight. When the goal of your fight is not eternity, you're gonna lose. Do we understand? When our fighting is not centered on us getting to the prize, which is eternal, which is the crown that never goes away, when our running constantly is not because of a purpose for us to reach heaven, we're not going to succeed. We're going to fail. When life got tough, we're going to quit. You see, Paul was writing here, because if you do any studyings, the Corinthians were trying to take the easy way out. They had no real purpose. Some, I'm not saying all of them. They had no real goal. And when things got tough, some of their faith quit. Some of their faith was gone. When life punched them in the nose, without being driven by the goal of eternity, without being driven by the goal of Jesus Christ, they failed. And it's just like so many people in our world today in 2017, we live such busy lives, do we not? Sometimes I think we're busier now than ever. Social media, I mean, you got to spend at least an hour a day on Facebook. You don't even have time to do anything. Most of y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy, but I promise I deal with that in the youth. I deal with that with myself, too. By the way, Jennifer's looking at me, giving that snake eye. We're always running here. We're always running there. See, you got me now. Me and Jen's, one of our biggest things is, and this is sad, but we go to watch a movie at night, and we'll be 15, this is embarrassing. We'll be 15 minutes into the movie, and both of us will look at each other and go, I don't even know what's going on. And it's sad. Why? Because we're right here. So we'll have to start the movie over and put the cell phones down. Because that's the world we live in. There's always something going on. There's always something going on. There's always something to read. There's always something to see. We run, we run, we run, we run. We run for our jobs. We run for our money. We run for pride. We run for selfish reasons. We run for the flesh. We fight for pleasure. But when we're running and fighting for any of those things, we're not going to succeed. Without heaven and Jesus being our goal in life, when marriages get tough, when jobs get hard, when the doctor's report hits you square in the nose, your faith is going to shatter. Because our goal and our purpose is not heaven-driven. Sometimes, and I'm going to be just brutally honest, sometimes we take it for granted. Sometimes as Christians, we take Jesus dying on the cross for granted. We talk about on Sunday nights how we want to remember the cross. Now, you're here on a Sunday night. So more than likely, I'm preaching to the choir, right? We take the easy way out. And I want to look here at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, but I want to explain to you, this is going to take a little bit of a shift. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul is writing to the Corinthians here, and I want to explain to you what's happening. Here is the Corinthians being overconfident in their relationship with Jesus. Here are the Corinthians being overconfident in their faith. They're prideful. They're comfortable. And what's going on here is there's a question of can they eat the meat that is being sacrificed or offered to the idols? And the Corinthian Christians' viewpoint on this is they think, well, we've been baptized. and we've partaken of the body and the blood of Christ, we are in Christ and He is in us, so therefore we are safe. But I want you to know that Paul gives them a warning. Paul gives them a warning in verses 1 through 6, and I want you to listen up. He says, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate of the same spiritual food and they drank of the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from settling our hearts on evil things as they did." Now I want to read verse 6 again. And please open up your heart and listen to what's being said here. He says, "Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did." So how is this an example? Well, listen to what happens here. You see, Paul's reminding them. Paul's reminding the Corinthians that the Israelites experienced God's grace in exiting Egypt. They experienced the grace of God when God got them out of Egypt. They experienced Him freeing them from slavery. They experienced the cloud of protection. They experienced His protection, His grace. They experienced the miracles when He parted the Red Sea for them to walk through. They experienced the miracle of the manna. They experienced the miracle of the water. You see, God did this for all of them. God did this for the Israelites because He loved them. God did this for the Israelites out of His mercy, out of His grace, out of His protection, out of His love. But because they lost faith, they were condemned to wander in the desert for years. If you look at verses 11 and 12, Paul says, "These things happened to them as examples." He's saying that again. "These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall." He says, be careful that you don't fall. How do we be careful? We train for the race that we have to run. How do we train for the race? We have our spiritual disciplines. We get into the Word of God, we pray, and we practice self-discipline. The Israelites were God's chosen people. And they thought that they could safely experiment with worldly sins because they had experienced His grace and His love. They were wrong. You see, what I'm trying to say tonight is, what race are we running? Because when we begin to run a race with aimless intentions, when we begin to run a race where God is not the center and our only purpose, when we begin to run our race without heaven being our purpose, he says, be careful when you think you're standing firm. Be careful. Be careful. Why? Because when you begin to run this race of life for yourself, and you call yourself a Christian, and you begin to get real comfortable in the grace that God's provided, you're going to look up one day and see that your faith has failed you. You're going to look up one day and you're going to be doing things that you never thought that you would do. How many of you know that sin multiplies? It never starts out as a big, gigantic, nasty sin. There's something that's been on my heart. I don't have kids, but this has been repeating. It's on my heart right now. So, I mean, it's been ever since I got up here. We've all heard what one generation allows, the next generation embraces. Those of you that have kids, whether they're young or whether they're teenagers, and I know I don't have a kid, I'm sitting up here talking to you, I understand that. But what I want you to understand is, be careful of what you allow in your home. Be careful of what you allow on your kid's cell phone. Be careful of what you allow on the television. Be careful of what you allow them to read. I think I may have told some of you this before. Last year, I had a seventh grade girl walk up to me when I was teaching math, and she said, "Coach Sanders, I love this book I love this book. And I began to open it up, and through the first three pages, I counted 33 cuss words. Or it was in the 30s, 33 to 37 cuss words. It was a story about a 13-year-old girl getting pregnant. And it was a filthy book that our library at Fordyce High School was supplying out to seventh grade girls. The devil has found his way in. And when we are not running a race with God as our center, we become really careful. I mean, we become really comfortable. And the next thing we know, our kids are running a race with themselves or with lust as their goal. You can ask kids on Wednesday night. I had them here a couple weeks ago close their eyes. And I said, I want you to think about your life. Are you running a race for Christ? Or are you running a race for your selfish, sinful desires? And if you're here tonight and you're running a race for your sinful desires, if your world consists of and centers around your sinful pleasures, and you want freedom from that, raise your hand, and I promise you 80% did. 80%. We as Christian adults, we as leaders, must make sure that we are running our race with God at the throne. We must make sure that we are running our race. You see, when you're running, I know you don't believe this, but I used to run. I used to run in races. Got a few plaques. That's a long time ago. Actually, it was only about 2 years ago, but it's about 50 pounds ago. So it's a long time ago. It was a lot of hamburgers and hot dogs and donuts ago. But, you know, when I was running, and you would keep your goal in mind, whether I was running a 3-mile race, a 6-mile race, whatever, I would keep that finish line in mind. I would keep that prize in mind. And I can remember my mom, one of the first races I ever ran in, she was actually irritated at me because she was standing on the side of the road when I went by at mile 2, and she had a camera, and she wanted me to stop and smile. And I can remember running by, she was going, Dustin, 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 Dustin. And I just kept running. And after it was over, she was like, did you not? And I told her, I said, Mom, I'm telling you, I didn't even hear you. I didn't even know you was there. Why? Because I was zoned in. How many of us can say that about our Christian walk? Are we so centered and focused in on eternity? Are we so centered and focused in on Jesus? Are we so centered and focused in on the cross that we can't even recognize the outside world? Or are we running our race while grabbing everything that stands out there? Are we running our race while focusing on sinful pleasures? Are we running our race while focusing on self, while focusing on flesh? He says, do not run your race aimlessly. Do not shadow box. Do not fight just to be fighting. Fight for the purpose of His kingdom. Worship team, if you'll come, please. If we go back, it says, run the race to win. Don't run it just to compete. Run the race to win. And the only way that we run our race to win is by self-discipline. Do not take grace and love and mercy for granted. Run with your purpose and goal in mind. You've heard me say this before. There is nobody that is more thankful. There is no one that is any more thankful for the blood of Jesus. I know that I am not saved by my acts. I know that I'm not going to get into heaven by the good things that I do. I'm going to get into heaven by His blood and His mercy and His grace covering me. But how am I running my race? Am I comfortable in that? The Israelites were comfortable in the Old Testament. They were comfortable with the protection they had provided, with the grace they had been afforded. They were comfortable with being freed from slavery. They began to partake in everything because they thought they could. I really genuinely believe that God is issuing a warning to somebody, maybe all of us tonight. It was to me. Run your race with Him as your goal. Run your race with eternity as your goal. Run your race with the cross of Jesus in mind. And like I said during the transition, try your best to practice self-discipline. We should try our best to follow the commandments of God. Amen? We should run our race trying our best to follow what Jesus said. He said, love God with all of your heart. Love people. Make disciples. Let your light shine. Those are the commands that Jesus left. We should be running our race with those in mind, doing everything we can. We shouldn't be shadow boxing. We should be fighting that fight. We should be fighting that good fight. So tonight, as the worship team leads us in song, I'm going to ask the men to pass out the communion cups and the bread. And while they're passing it out, the worship team's going to sing. And I want each of us, whether you stand, whether you sit, whatever it is, I want you to focus on your life. Are we running the race with heaven as our goal? Are we running the race with God as our goal, with our faith, with our hope? Are we giving it everything we have? Or sometimes are we running in circles in this life? Sometimes are we shadow boxing? Are we fighting for nothing? Because if you're fighting constantly for more money, you're fighting for a crown, it's going to disappear. Just like the wreath of flowers. If you're training and you're working hard and you're pushing yourself to the limit to get a job promotion, that job promotion is going to be gone one day. The only thing that's going to be here forever, the only crown, the only prize that's going to be eternal is our eternity, our salvation. Are we fighting and are we running for that prize? So as they lead us in a song, I'm going to ask you to ask yourself and to think, are you running, or what are we running and fighting for?